You're listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. Over the past 4 months, Siouxland Public Media has been working with families, teachers, school board members, and students who have described their experiences with the evolving role of coronavirus in our schools. COVID-19 has affected students, staff, and parents at every school district in Siouxland. In our Going Viral project, we worked with four families who have students in Woodbury County public and private schools. Today on The Exchange, we have a rebroadcast of our live roundtable with these families earlier this week. Siouxland Public Media's Sheila Brummer is the co-host of this program.
We are
it's
here.
It's great to be here today.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about our Going Viral project, right?
Yeah, we're going to have a Zoom roundtable later on during The Exchange. You know, we've spoken throughout the school year to parents, teachers, of course, students, school board members, city officials, about the role of schools in helping prevent and stop the spread of COVID-19. Well, there are so many different changes this school year, changes with learning plans, changes within families, how they have to deal with all those changes. And we've talked with people who have actually contracted the virus and how they dealt with being sick, the impact on their families, and what they're doing during the recovery.
Yeah, you know, and we're going to be talking with them in a couple of minutes, but we did just before the show, we heard from Governor Reynolds, and she talked a lot about vaccines. And she didn't she, Sheila, also talk about some of the restrictions that we've had recently?
Yeah, starting just after midnight tonight, some of those restrictions will be lifted. The main one is for bars and restaurants. They've had to close at 10 o'clock. Well, now those restrictions have been lifted, but people still must wear masks and do social distancing within those facilities. And also household members can, all of households can now attend sporting events for youngsters. There were some unclear issues or details about those guidelines that we hope to get more information today from the governor's office. There were reporters that asked specific things.
Yeah.
I'm thinking sometimes the reporters in Des Moines get more information than we do when we're listening virtually here in Sioux City.
Right. Yeah. So in effect, a middle school concert I went to on Friday, we each had two tickets. We had to present them at the door. So with this, supposedly you wouldn't have to do that.
That's what it appears to be. And the big thing is she said, you know what, it looks like the vaccine is the light at the end of the tunnel. There's a lot of hope there, but she says it's not time to let the guard down. There was also a medical official from Des Moines with Unity Point Health. He's the head of the emergency department. He said he's going to be one of the first to get the vaccine. They've already done 500 frontline healthcare workers getting the vaccine. He's going to get it soon. And he says he's really grateful to be someone who can get it early. And he hopes that it's the beginning of the end of the pandemic. He says it's safe. He believes it's effective. The governor also says she will be getting it as well after the frontline workers in the healthcare industry get their vaccines. And she believes it's safe as well. But they both said, you know what, don't let your guard down. Stay home when sick, wear your masks, and still social distance. And they're really encouraging people to get the vaccine. The state will track the number of people getting the vaccine on their coronavirus website, too.
Well, I was wondering, too. I'd read in the Des Moines Register, and she didn't really talk about when the nursing home residents, long-term care facility residents, would be getting the vaccine. I read a couple days ago that it wouldn't be till after Christmas.
Well, my grandfather is in an assisted living facility in Remsen in Plymouth County, and he says he was told he was going to get his at the end of January.
Oh,
but of course, that's probably fluid. But yeah, that's going to be through the pharmacy, the federal pharmacy program.
Okay, so that's a little bit delayed then, seems like.
Yeah. And the governor also said that they're doing huge shipments of PPE for more than 400 long-term care facilities across the state.
Yeah.
So to help out with that as well.
There's a lot going on there. And, you know, I know that you and I were both closely watching the Sioux City Community School Board this week, and they made a big decision. And I know that you did a report on that. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, we're going to play that report now. They're actually now moving to a new form of learning once again at the beginning of the school year. And here's the report for Monday night.
All those in favor, manifest by saying aye.
The Sioux City Community School Board unanimously voted Monday night to return to hybrid learning after winter break on January 4th. The district started the first 2 weeks with students either attending class on Monday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Friday. After lengthy and sometimes contentious debate, the board is also requiring school leaders to provide more information reporting COVID-19 numbers.
We've done a willful act of omission, and we haven't provided that information to the board or to the public.
That's board member Dan Greenwell, who, along with Taylor Goodwin, pushed for the move that will track positive test results, quarantine numbers, absentees related to COVID, and other illnesses for students, teachers, and personnel in direct contact with students and other staff.
We get a report that roughly 370-some students have positive COVID. And oh, by the way, that's less than 10% what we've been reporting. And I'm being generous with 10% because I average it for 3 weeks.
Greenwell is referring to numbers released to board members prior to Monday night's meeting. Every Friday, the school district releases a COVID-19 update to the public, showing the number of students and staff members who have tested positive. That number is much lower, 113 students and 111 staff members since the start of the school year. During previous board meetings, Superintendent Paul Gosman has said he believed that number to be much higher. Here's his response to criticism surrounding COVID-19 reporting.
There's an allegation out there tonight that we know the number and we're just hiding it from you. We're not. We can give you more data now than we used to be able to give you. But back in the day where we started, you asked for, let's make sure that we're being honest with people and only reporting COVID numbers that we know to be true, not that we suspect.
Before the school board voted to move to hybrid learning, one teacher and union representative did raise issues surrounding a shortage of personal protective equipment for teachers. Another, a school counselor from West High, Bernie Scalero, expressed her concerns about school safety.
COVID does not stop at school entrances like there's a magnetic force keeping it from entering. There was a district employee who died earlier this year from COVID. I myself spent 3 weeks at home in November recovering from COVID, and I still have some lingering effects. There's another much younger teacher in the district who was hospitalized because of COVID and has had blood clots in her lungs. For her and her family, it's not over.
The ISEA Iowa COVID Tracker reports an employee of the Sioux City School District is one of a half dozen across the state that have died of complications of the novel coronavirus.
Believe, achieve, succeed means nothing if you don't show some damn love and compassion.
The next school board meeting is scheduled for January 11th. For Siouxland Public Media News, I'm Sheila Brummer.
And we contacted the school district about the staff member that the teachers union says died of COVID-19. Now, we were told medical information about personnel is confidential, and out of respect for family members, we aren't reporting that employee's name that was on the website. Mary?
Okay. Well, you know, we're going to be going to, I don't know if this is a good time to start introducing folks.
We have some live guests today.
We're going to be talking to Donna Behrens. We're going to her son, Tate, goes to Sioux City Community Schools. She's been one of our families, our Going Viral families. Also,
Mandy Engel Carty from Girls Inc. is here to talk about an alternative for students at Girls Inc. We'll hear about that.
And also with us is Pam Venturi.
Yeah, all three of them are here. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk about each of their stories. I know Donna Behrens has been one of our families taking part in our Going Viral Lessons Learned During the Pandemic series, and your son Tate is in fifth grade locally at Perry Creek. You are the PTA president at Perry Creek. Your husband Todd is the director of the Sioux City Arts Center. Now, it's great to have you here, Donna, and tell us, how has the school year evolved for you and your family?
Surprisingly well. A lot of things have been almost normal, with some, you know, if you include wearing masks in the normal, the day-to-day going to school and coming back and that. I mean, it's definitely a less busy school year. And for me personally, it's been hard to get motivated in the PTA and getting involved in the school. I really have to try hard since we're not allowed to walk into the school. Volunteering is difficult, but we've managed to do some virtual things with the schools, and then on a school level, day-to-day basis, our son has been doing great and loves to be in school, but Tate rolls with the punches when he heard about going hybrid after the winter break. He understood, and we'll go back to that, and we'll try to keep safe.
And speaking of hybrid, actually, the first 2 weeks the school district did hybrid, and you did an audio diary with your son talking about what it was like to go back to class full time every day of the week instead of just 2 days of the week. And here's a sample of some of that audio with Donna Behrens and her son, Tate.
What was it like going into the school instead of lining up outside?
So everyone was kind of about, they were in the gym and they were coming out. My class was already in the classroom.
Oh, so you just went right into the classroom? Okay, so that worked out really well.
Yeah.
You weren't tardy, right?
No. Okay. I was very not tardy.
Good. And then what was it like being in the classroom with all the people?
It was...
like a full class, right? Like everybody? How many people are in your class?
24.
24?
Yeah.
Okay. So you really were split in half, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
You were pretty close to 24.
It was fun because I got to meet, well, not meet, but see some of my old friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, a lot of them. You probably saw everybody today, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did you get to see some of the other classes, or were you kind of separate?
I saw a little bit of the classes while they were maybe like... because we have the same restroom and wash break.
Nice.
So I got to see some.
Oh, some of your friends. That's cool. Yeah. That's so exciting. I bet you were so happy to see them. You want to just like give them high fives and talk, but you can't, can you? No. Okay. What was it like walking in with all those people? How'd it feel? A little weird, a little good? You liked it?
It was good.
Were you happy to get away from your crying mother? Yeah, I don't blame you.
How long did you cry?
Not very much longer. I called Dad and he calmed me down a little bit. So, thank you for being good.
You're welcome.
You wore your mask all day?
Yes, okay. I did. I barely took it off. Okay. Yeah.
That's okay.
Once or twice.
Okay. So, all right. Good job today. You excited to go back tomorrow?
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Good. I know. School is fun. Okay? You'll have fun.
And that's Donna Behrens and her son, Tate, who is in fifth grade at Perry Creek. And Donna, it sounds like you were a little bit more emotional back then and maybe a little bit calmer now that things have kind of played out during the school year.
Yeah. You know, to see all the safety that all the teachers and the administration and the staff and the custodian, like everybody in the school is so careful and just has the very best of interests of all the kids and themselves. You know, they do a great job. So we've just gotten to that new normal. I think the holidays have been difficult for us. We are kind of going into a year without seeing any family. So that'll be a difficult time for us too. So,
because you're not a native of this area, so your relatives live on the East Coast.
Correct. So come Christmas, we haven't seen anybody for a year.
Oh, that is hard, isn't it, Donna? Definitely. But
we find new ways to reach out, and we did an awesome virtual Thanksgiving, and we'll just we're happy with what we get at this point, and that makes us really happy maybe to see the light at the end of the tunnel with the vaccine coming.
And I know your husband's faced issues too when it comes to the Art Center. He was actually in quarantine for a little while in the house.
He was, so that was interesting because to where we don't want to, we like our mask breaks in the house. We had to go to wearing masks in the house. They had somebody at the Art Center test positive, and so they all went into quarantine, and he went into our basement guest room. But they faced a lot of other stressful things at the Art Center as well. It's hard when you can't get people to walk in that door or reach out like you used to with classes and stuff. So it's been a stressful year for him. So that's our household is sometimes a little more like walking on eggshells in there, but we try to get together and have fun with things. So,
all right. Well, Donna Behrens, why don't you stick around? We'll try to talk to you later on in the show as well. And I know Mary, you talked to a couple just outside of Sioux City recently who have been part of our Going Viral series.
Yeah, the Reblitz family, Donnie and Stacy, and their children go to Woodbury Central Community Schools. Donnie is on the school board. Stacy is a paraprofessional at the elementary school. And the children, Sadie and Jackson. And again, as I said, they couldn't be here today because of circumstances that, you know, they couldn't control. But I wanted to play a little bit of an interview with both of them earlier this year when their son happened to get COVID-19 unfortunately, and he became very ill. And so here is that interview.
The next morning, our doctor, we had a telehealth appointment for all of us because we waited like about 6 to 7 days till we knew he was showing symptoms. And then we all got an appointment with telehealth. We went and made our appointments to be tested, and they called in a nebulizer and Pulmicort, the strong one. And I could only give it to him every 6 hours, but his breathing was bothering him so much that we were giving it to him every 3 to 4 hours. And on Friday, I called and I said, this is, you know, we started breathing treatments Tuesday. It's Friday. I feel like something should change. And so they called in a Z-Pak and oral steroids. And he was still just running this fever. Like throughout all of this, there was just a low-grade fever. And it's so frustrating. And so he finished his Z-Pak, and by Monday was going to be his last round of antibiotics and prednisone. Plus, he was still using the nebulizer. And our doctor said, well, he can't come in here because he's running a temp, and we know he's positive for COVID. So if you need to get him x-rayed to make sure there's not pneumonia. So we're going to, you know, you're going to need to go to the ER. And looking back, I wish I wouldn't have went there. I wish I would have just went to urgent care because they seem to be the catch-all here. They took care of us very well. Both times, that's where she tested positive. And then we ended up there, actually. So we sat at the ER for about 5 hours, 4.5 hours. There were no beds available. And we were better off than a lot of people there, but we were, the waiting room was full. We were out in the hallway sitting on some folding chairs. And when they did his vitals, he was steady, you know, no high blood, you know, his heart rate was pretty good. So they weren't, I don't think, that concerned. I think there were people coming in much worse off than us. So we ended up leaving. I just told the nurse that at the desk, I'm like, listen, we have Pulmicort at home. We'll just go to urgent care in the morning, because I don't feel like we're that dire. They just wanted this x-ray done. So we ended up going in the morning, and Jackson was fine through the night, just did our breathing treatments. And then they did an x-ray, and there was no pneumonia, thank goodness. And that was like last Tuesday. Yeah. But he was still, you know, still with the temp. And so they ended up saying that, they changed his, he now has to carry an inhaler, and he does use it, which for a kid who's never had anything like that, it's upsetting. But, you know, he carries his inhaler. And about 3 days later, we called the doctor and said, you know, it's still with the temperature. It flares up in the afternoons. And he said, you know, it's 99. It's very low. So if he feels up to it, then you can send him back to school, because that just might be there for a long time, that low-grade fever. They've seen a lot of people, they said, with that. And as long as it wasn't over 100, then they weren't worried. So they released him to go back to school. So,
but he was out of school for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And just had a fever off and on and did not feel well and was unable to do schoolwork or anything like that. So he's been spending the last week just trying to catch up as much as possible and make sure that he's getting everything done before quarterly grades get posted.
Yeah, and that was Stacy and Donnie Rieblitz. And, you know, that happened back in October, but listening to that, they had so much trouble just trying to get everything done, trying to get their son seen, make sure he had the medications, make sure everything was okay. And she was just at her wit's end, you know, and I think that it shows too how long this stuff can hang on. So yeah, it's scary.
That's true. I mean, they have what's called the long hauler, where months later, people are still having major complications due to COVID-19. And I know Donnie, being on the school board, he was really vocal early in the school year. He wanted masks mandated, and he was a lone voice, and or one of the lone voices. And to have this happen, I
it has to be especially hard for their family.
Yeah, and finally they did get the mask mandate, but it took a lot of kids, I think, contracting it, and which was unfortunate that that had to happen.
Yeah, you know, there's just so many different issues, so many things that play into this. It's been, you know, a year of chaos for so many people, emotionally, financially, when it comes to education as well. And we had another family that we've been following, the Venturi family of Sioux City, headed by Pam Venturi. And she's a single mother of five school-aged children who attend Catholic school in Sioux City. She's a nurse. And Pam's another person who's been very open and honest about her journey this school year. And Pam, it's great that you're able to join us today. I know you have a busy schedule with the kids, and you're working full-time at a long-term care facility here in Sioux City, and that's also another added stress level for you as well. Thanks for joining us, Pam.
Thank you.
And we're gonna, in a just momentarily, play audio from the beginning of the school year, but how are you doing today, Pam?
I'm doing good. I think it all kind of boils down for me to perspective. Like, the harder things get, I just have to keep peeling layers away and boil it down till it's manageable. The kids are doing really well in school. They're still on honor roll, so I was very proud of my twins. They're the teenagers, they're hard ones. They are still paving the way in JROTC at Helan, and I'm very proud of them for that. And I do hear they are missing their friends. They're missing seeing certain amounts of their friends in the hallways like they normally did. The ability to sit by who they want to. Just the freedom of being able to have that endearment with their friends. They're really missing that. We do have two other families that we share our teenagers. We're trying to encourage just those relationships and keep our homes to a, you know, like, just low amount of contact between each other. The other mom's a nurse, I'm a nurse, so we're very careful about things. And so far we've been really lucky with the kids. My homeschooler, she's just now starting to get a little sad about being here and not being in the classroom. Just within the last few weeks, I would say that Thanksgiving probably brought that on.
She stays at home because she has health concerns. She is battling lupus, so that puts her at higher risk. So you have her at home. And actually, what was interesting is the night before the school year started, it sounds like you have a kind of, I guess, very energetic children, and that's a good thing. And we're going to play now some audio from the audio that you recorded the night before the school year started.
I'm Kateri Venturi, and I am 9 years old.
And what are your hopes? What are you hoping for school?
I hope I don't get sick or other people don't. And don't laugh.
Are you scared of anything?
Not really.
Okay. Who are you and how old are you?
My name is Maria Paola Venturi. I am 11 years old. And what I'm hoping for is that school goes well and the coronavirus will soon stop and no one will have to wear masks.
Hi, my name is Nicodemus Vanessa Venturi and I'm 13 years old.
What are your hopes?
My hopes are the wrestling season goes well and that mom gets paid well in her job. And that Papa and Grandma are safe during the pandemic.
What are your fears?
I don't know. Papa and Grandma may be getting sick. Because they're old people.
Hello. I'm Bernadette Venturi. I'm 15. My hopes are that school ends because I don't like school.
What are you scared of?
Nothing.
Yes, you are. There's something in your heart.
I don't like that we're having lunch because we're all going to be crowded by each other.
No, I don't think you are. I think they're like planning to have you guys separated in different parts. In fact, I think some lunch is going to be outside, and some's going to be in the classroom, and some's going to be in the lunchroom, and they're all going to split that up.
Excuse me, but
But what if we're not? What if we don't have friends in our same lunch?
Well, that would be something that would be, you know, to be you're scared of, is you're not going to be able to see your friends, right? The people you want to see.
I am the other twin, named Antonia.
My hopes... Oh, I'm 15. My hopes are for the end of the world to come so we can meet Jesus.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, answer the questions.
Yeah, to be scared.
My fears... I don't know. Bugs.
This is Pam Venturi, and I'm the mom.
What's your age?
Yeah. What's your age?
I don't need to tell you my age.
Day over 80.
Oh, Nika. Okay, so here's my hopes. I hope that we all have a positive attitude during this school year. Just because it doesn't look like what we want to see it look like, it doesn't look like what we're normally used to, doesn't mean that you're not going to learn or that you're not going to be productive people. So my hopes are that you guys stay positive and remain good citizens in your classrooms, to your teachers and to your parents and to society. Thank you guys. Say thank you.
I'm good.
Thank you. Have a happy school year.
Thank you.
Say have a good school year.
Have a good school year.
And that's Pam Venturi and her five kids. And Pam, you were smiling behind the scenes here on our Zoom, listening to that.
Yeah, that is a typical supper time. We cook every meal as, you know, like at night that we can be as a family. We try the best, even if we're eating at 8 o'clock at night and everybody has to head to bed right after. So that's like our meetup time. So yeah, that's very typical. And you hear the attitude of the teenagers and, but you know, at the end of the day, those kids, they snuggle up to me. They're good kids. So I'm really proud of them. They're smart kids.
That's good. And you were saying that, you know, they are getting by, and your daughter at home, you said is, you know, she's virtual at home and it's starting to really impact her being away from everybody.
Yeah. I'm really hopeful for the vaccine for her. They've put some kind of limitations on the vaccine, where like, if you've had a reaction in the past, or, you know, they kind of want to know those things. To be quite honest, me personally, I think we need to be vaccinating all the elderly first, above and beyond everyone else, because they are taking the brunt of this. And it's kind of
sad. You work in a nursing home.
Yes. And but the statistics say it all. Which population of humanity is taking the brunt of this? And it's our elderly. It's the 65 and ups. These are the people that raised us. These are the people that built this country, that fought our wars. And if you take that population and switch it and put children in that, I think it would be approached in an entirely different way. They have just as much value as our children do. These are our grandparents. And so that's really why we're wearing our masks in public, is to save that generation.
And actually, you contracted COVID-19 from where you were working.
I did, yeah. And amazingly enough, the kids did not get it. I just instantly holed up in my bedroom. It was still warm enough outside that I could speak through the window. I could open the windows and talk to the kids outside. They were in charge of keeping me fed. So some nights and some days it was pretty lean up here. I was getting pretty tired of hot dogs and mac and cheese when we're usually eating really good. So yeah, I was calling my friends and saying, the worst part is the food. But at the same time, you couldn't taste anything anyway. So it was just, it was crazy. And toward the end there, the kids were sitting outside the door. I had fingers underneath the door. We were reading through the door and listening to music. I was listening to them. It was hard, but we managed to make it through without having any problems.
Oh, no, that's okay. And Nico, when in that segment, your son Nico was talking about wrestling. Was he able to actually keep doing his wrestling, or was that limited?
It was limited. They took out middle school sports, so only high schoolers could do that. So he was home wrestling, literally, with his sisters. And here he doesn't win. But typically on the mat, he's a pretty decent wrestler. He's an excellent wrestler. Of course, I'm his mom. But, you know, he's a good kid. He's a good sport. And he really missed the mat, because that took him away from all of the male influence in his life. He lives for that sport. That's where he finds his guy time. So he really suffered that. But we did get to go back to practice starting on Monday of this week. So he's had two practices this week, and he's just loving it.
Well, I was going to bring in Donna Behrens real quick as well. Donna, your son Tate has been doing soccer indoors. Do you think they've been able to do it in a way that's been safe and manageable?
Well, we did the outdoor season and it was good. Some of the tournaments were better than others in terms of mask wearing. I think people get a little comfortable outside, and when you're that many people, you still need to wear a mask. But some of them were great and everybody was wearing a mask. So I liked that, especially when it was cold and you could wear your mask. It was a lot easier. We had our first indoor practice last night, actually. And I assume it went well. The parents are not allowed inside, so we just dropped him at the door and he found his way. I think it probably adds a little bit to his independence that he needs to find where he's supposed to be and ask adults questions. So I'm hoping there's some good that comes out of that. He's an only child, so I think sometimes he's coddled a little bit too.
Pam was talking about one of her daughters is working virtually at home because of health concerns. Well, the Sioux City Community School District, they have 1,800 of their 15,000 students doing virtual learning, and that's about 12% of students. And Girls Inc. is actually taking, I guess, an extra step to help some of those families who want to stay virtual, but they have to work at the same time. And Mandy Engel-Cardy is joining us now. And can you tell us how you've been doing so far this school year with this alternative way for kids to still get the education they need?
Well, we shifted so that we became what we call a local learning hub, so that all girls who have signed up for 100% virtual learning can attend. We help them get connected. We make sure that their devices are working. We have staff sitting with them if needed. We have very, very small classes. We've cut our numbers significantly so that we can observe social distancing and keep it safe. But and there's lots and lots of cleaning like the schools are doing. The nice thing is that we were able to run a 6-week summer program with no closures. And we so far this fall, I'm going to knock on my desk here, have not closed as well. And virtually every girl has a different schedule, class schedule. So what staff are managing are multiple time slots with some girls online, some girls not online. And then we're providing basically surround care so that when they are not online, we have STEM classes, we have art, we have our economic literacy and all the things that we regularly do at Girls Inc. But then the great thing is that social part that Donna, you and Val mentioned that your kids are missing, our girls are having that here, but hopefully in a much safer environment because we're so limited. I feel for your husband at the Art Center because it's a tough year for nonprofits. We have taken a huge hit in dues because normally we would have 200 and plus girls in the summer, and this year our capacity was 60. And so all of the nonprofits are struggling. I'm concerned, you know, we have Girls Inc. in Florida, and they have told us, because they've been through so many hurricanes and other natural disasters, they said, it's actually the year after that's harder for nonprofits, and we need to be thinking about that. But we don't want to take the place of school, but we want to take some of the weight off school in essence. And also for those parents who a hybrid schedule is not going to work, we do have some openings, and actually we were happy to hear that the district was allowing folks to sign up for another semester of virtual learning, because we actually have some students, a couple have moved, and so we have some openings, and we're going to post that on Facebook pretty soon and get the word out there for the spring semester. But we're serving 3 meals a day. We're open 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You know, all of these things that happened, we had to add new full-time staff. These are all unbudgeted. And yeah, FEMA helps with the PPE and that kind of thing, but they also cut that off in September. I don't know if people know. They basically gave about a 2-day notice that anything PPE related, for the most part, for nonprofits will now be considered just a necessary budgeted expense, which is tough because we are on a calendar year budget and we didn't budget for any of this. Obviously we didn't see it coming. And I know we're not alone out there. People have been incredibly generous. We're so fortunate to be part of a community that's very giving, but at the same time, it's a challenge. And I saw Makerspace close their doors. I was very sad to see that. And I just think that this is a tough time for the community. The flip side of that is that so many people have stepped up and helped and done whatever they can as far as giving monetarily, getting girls Christmas presents, bedding, socks, underwear, all the necessary things. So we're doing the best we can, and I'm proud of what we've done. I'm really, really proud of it, because we clean every night. The staff have taken on extra cleaning. I've heard from other affiliates across the country that some staff don't even want to leave their homes, you know, depending on various areas of town. Ours have been fantastic. That, you know, when folks have had to quarantine, they're like, I'll take a shift. I get it. It's good. So yeah, everybody has come to the table, and their passion for our mission and for helping girls has come, is just a shining light in a dark year.
Now, Mandy, when you're talking to families, what kind of impact are you seeing with them? I mean, trying to balance the work and to still make sure that their children are being educated and even fed.
You know, I asked for parent testimonials because I was writing a grant, and probably 6 or 8 parents responded immediately with what this meant to them, and saying that, you know, some of them work in healthcare and they are under more pressure than ever before. They cannot be gone and they cannot miss work. And so they were very concerned about a school closing or a class closing. And then what were they going to do? They didn't have backup. We had others who said, I've got more folks at risk in my life or in my home, and to know that at least our chances are a little better in such a limited environment. We had teachers reach out to us and say, thank you so much for doing this. You're at least creating a little bit more breathing room and an ability to social distance. I think it's hard to, I can't imagine the pressure that the schools are under, that teachers are under, and that healthcare workers and facilities are under right now. And I'm with those of you who said, let's just hope the vaccine is sooner rather than later. And I agree with you that the elderly definitely need to get it first. And healthcare workers, let's hope we can get that going. I would love to see our summer, this summer, be back to 200 and some girls. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm hopeful. And I just would love to see our community get back moving and everybody working together.
Have any of you noticed a lag in your child's or children's learning since this started? I've read so much about this, what children lose because they're not at school, or school gets, the learning style gets changed. And, you know, I've noticed I really have to stay on top of what my daughter is doing and have her check her computer every day to see what is due. I don't know, have any of you had to deal more with that?
I have not with my 5.
Oh, Pam,
I have noticed that since they're in front of a computer screen more, because there are some of that, there's more online stuff, accessibility anyway, at Helan and at all of the Helan schools, they're going to school regular anyway, but they're using that as an excuse to be on electronics. So I'm finding that the little bit of sneakiness going on there, but I think they're all keeping up, generally speaking, but we're kind of the household that homework has to be done. And I kind of have high expectations of that, because I tell them that they're not going to live in my basement, and I'm not raising children that are going to be living in a van down by the river. So, and they can't use this as an excuse. This is just a bump in life, and this is the way life is. And this is probably not even going to be the worst bump in life. So no complaining, because you can't change it.
Donna, what about you?
We've utilized some other educational outlets, like some supplemental learning to try to keep him moving forward. I think that's helped, but I also know that we're very fortunate to be able to do something like that. We utilized it immediately when the school shut in March, and I've just kind of kept going with some classes online. You know, they're for-profit places that you pay to take classes, but just to keep him going. And he's enjoyed it. I'm surprised at his adaptability online to pay attention to the teachers and to engage in that way. So our kids are amazingly resilient in that way. More resilient than I am on Zoom.
Yeah, they do take to it pretty quickly, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, Mary, even with my daughter, she was in first grade, which was designated as a critical year for kids when it comes to reading and education. And I must say, I think she is a little bit behind. I really do. I feel like my family, we're not teachers, and it was evident when the pandemic hit. And I feel like she has fallen a bit behind. And I think her other classmates have as well.
And it seems like every night there's extra homework trying to catch up and to trying to fill the gap of what was lost because of the school year. Now, I know, Mandy, you have a teenage son at home. Is he staying at home doing virtual learning or is he in class?
Yeah, he's doing 100% virtual, and his choices were even limited for the classes that he can take. He's taking fewer classes than he would have had he been at school. So yeah, he definitely does a lot of sneaking on, we'll call it alt tabbing to the other screen that he's got open. And gotta watch it. He's like you guys, he's a great kid, but yeah, he loves his game world. So yeah.
Now, Mandy, when it comes to the virtual learning that the girls are getting, is there a variety in what different classes are teaching or grade levels?
Yeah, I mean, it's very much like
speak on.
Yeah, it's very much like elementary school. And in fact, we get a kick out of it because they're all doing different things. And then all of a sudden, somebody will stand up for a brain break and start doing exercises next to their desk when other people are quiet. But yeah, I have to say the teachers have been incredibly imaginative, and this was thrown on them really quickly. So the way that they've handled it is really, really great. And, you know, having a class full of definitely K through two, and sometimes higher, is like herding cats. So I have to give them, in real life, let alone virtually, we in fact, trying to get everybody, you know what it's like on a Zoom meeting, somebody's talking in the background and nobody's muted and somebody can't find their camera and you can't hear them. And half the meeting is, can you hear me? Can you not hear me? You know, these kids have done honestly better. They're pretty comfortable with it and rocking and rolling, but it's really cute to see them, like they'll show their art projects up here. And you know what I mean? I mean, I think it's awesome. And saying that this is not an excuse, you're just going to roll with it. Kids are resilient. They do. It's amazing to me. We don't have issues with girls wearing masks. They're really, really good about it. That's what you do. And it's just, they get to pick, do you need an adult size or a kid size mask when they come in the morning? We do their temp checks and all that. And they just roll with it. I have to give them all the credit in the world. I feel like we as adults hold children to a higher standard than we hold ourselves. And they're rocking and rolling.
I wanted to ask each of you too, what about your children's social lives? I've noticed, because my daughter doesn't see her friends in person as much, even at school, she's always on FaceTime with them and this and that and the other thing. And Pam, what about your kids? I know you say you kind of make sure they get their homework done first and all that, but.
Yeah. My teenagers there's a really tight knit group of girls with moms that I know that we get them together. But it's still their kids from school. Nico's pretty lonely here being the only boy. I feel bad. He's pretty stuck with all of us ladies here, poor guy. But that's why wrestling is so good for him. But he's got really good friends at school as well. The two little ones, they're 9 and 11. So that would be Paola and Kateri. And Paola is the one with lupus. They're each other's best friends. But we do talk a lot and do like Skyping with friends. So there's been a lot more of that kind of communication that ordinarily wouldn't have happened before. And yeah, it's been working. It's a good set of parents. As long as us parents are communicating and talking and connecting our children, that's where it's working.
What about you, Donna?
We've definitely seen a shift with Tate's friend circle. We live in a neighborhood with a lot of kids his age. I mean, we have about three or four fifth graders right within five houses of us. He really wasn't allowed to play outside with them immediately, and still I'm kind of wary of that, of the people that live right in our immediate neighborhood. So he's shifted his friend circle, and they do play a lot of like Roblox while talking to each other.
Yeah,
his social life now, where he was such an outdoor kid playing outside as much as he possibly could. I mean, all year round, it didn't matter what the weather was like, they'll just put snowsuits on and go outside and play. So that's a hard thing to give up. That's a great childhood to be able to have. And that's why we're here in Sioux City in Iowa, to give him that kind of upbringing. And that's been limited. So that's been, I think, tough on him, but he's making the best of it and probably does like his Roblox time a lot.
Yeah. Mandy, what about your son?
You know, this is kind of his milieu anyway, that they're doing a different game and I don't know what it is, but it's foul. You know, meaning dude shooting kinds of things that I don't care for, but they're talking in the background just like that. And yeah, so he's pretty good. I keep asking him, are you missing it? Do you want to go back to school? Nah, I'm good. But I will say that the girls here tell us, you know, when we closed in March and when schools closed in March and we were offering virtual learning and virtual activities with the girls, what they said when they came back was they were so happy to be with their friends. And, you know, yesterday a group was heading down to the gym to go roller skating in their masks. And, you know, just that time was just, is so important to them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't know. Is there anything that any of you particularly wanted to say to sum it up? And maybe I'll start with Sheila. Do you have something you wanted to say about your experience with your daughter?
Well, I was going to say at the start of the school year, it was really hard for us because I've been trying to social distance. We have a mother-in-law who basically is in our household and we want to make sure she doesn't get sick. For us, going into school was really scary. It still is. And I think it's hard when you have an only child, but that's why we decided to have her go into school, because we believe that she should have that socialization. But of course, you still really worry about it each and every day. That, you know, do we do the right thing? We want to make sure we don't get sick. You know, I'm coming into the station in limited hours, but I want to make sure that you, Mary, and other staff members here aren't going to be exposed to COVID. And I've been in quarantine a couple of different times due to exposures. And fortunately, so far, I have not tested positive for COVID-19. But, you know, it's just a hard balance of trying to figure out what to do, because I'm not a teacher. That's why we kind of decided to make sure that she was going to school to get that extra help when it comes to her education, Mary.
Mm. Pam, what about you? Is there anything you'd like to sort of say to kind of going forward, maybe what you're looking at?
For me, it's more in terms of my family. I feel like I'm the barometric pressure of them. So if I'm portraying a calm, we can do this, it's not a big deal, we're just gonna, you know, follow the rules and be good citizens, then they will follow. And that reduces the stress in the house. And I think it just causes a more logical reaction when they go to school. And also in terms of being a nurse, how important it is to wear your mask, because it's what you don't see. It's what you're not experiencing if you're not doing healthcare like we are, or teachers. Teachers are frontline too, man, what they see. We do see these things and we are experiencing it. And there's more suffering that I see every day, suffering and death, than I've seen in my entire career in the last few months. So it's really, you don't want to have to look at it. And it's hard to understand when they're trying to tell you all these things, but it's really important to wear those masks, because that's what we're doing, is protecting each other.
All right.
That's what good humans do.
Yeah, exactly. Donna, what about you?
Totally agree. I think in the years past this, you will look back and you will be able to say, did I do the right thing? Was I a good person, a good citizen, a good, you know, just knowing that a small amount of sacrifice can make a gigantic difference. You know, I want to be able to come out of this and know that I did do the right thing. I think there's been other times in history where people have had to look back and ask themselves that. And I just want to be on the other side of it, knowing that I did what I could to
help.
All
right. Well, thank you. And Mandy, you're going forward with your Girls Inc. program, right?
We are. Yes. We're going to continue this through the fall. Like I said, we have a few openings and we're excited to continue. It's working well. Parents are happy. And we're meeting our mission.
Thank you to everyone who has been on the program, to Donnie and Stacy Rieblitz, who I've talked to a lot this year, Pam Venturi, also Donna Behrens, thank you. And thank you, Mandy Engelcardi, and thank you, Sheila, for being on the show. I'm Mary Hartnett, and you've been listening to The Exchange. We'll talk to you next week.